Welcome to Haunt Topic Radio, the podcast for haunters by haunters. These are our scary visions.
There's enough room for all of us to have success, and everybody that I've met is there to help, and they want to help. I just haven't asked for the help until recently, and I'm getting amazing help. We're building an escape room. I'm getting amazing help from amazing people that I can't even believe that they just want to do this just to help. So don't be afraid to ask for help. That's something I've never done in my life with mostly anything. And you just ask and you shall receive. You don't know it all. Somebody said that earlier. You do not know it all. You cannot be the best at every single thing that is involved in the haunt industry. It's completely impossible. There's no way. You might be really good at a couple things, but you're not the best at everything. So my advice would be that. And like Sylvia said, you can always learn, even from new people. Always.
Hello, haunters. Welcome back to another episode of Haunt Topic Radio. In this episode, this is the recording from our live mastermind session called Women in Haunting. We get Sylvia Viculo, Susie Fleesick, Jan Knuth, Melissa Winton, and of course, your favorite co-host, Daryl Plunkey. We were live in front of a bunch of other haunters. It's about an hour and a half long. We get into topics of women in the industry, how they've overcome some of their challenges starting as haunters, some things you can do to start your own haunted house, your own haunt business, and much, much more. Each month, we're going to start doing either live masterminds or live master classes. And then we're going to use clips from that or the whole thing and make that into a podcast in case you miss it. But if you want to be updated and you want to know when the next ones are coming out, make sure that you're on one of our newsletters. You can go to haunttopic.com. There's a place to sign up there. Or you can become a member of the Haunters Toolbox, which is a free sign up. And whenever you sign up to that site, you will also be on our Haunters Toolbox email list. Plus, you get access to all the cool things that the haunterstoolbox.com offers. There's a bunch of free YouTube videos over there, and I'm restructuring that site actually as we speak, which should be done, hopefully, before haunt season opens up. But go check that out. There's a bunch of stuff there already. I'm just kind of rearranging some things, but more changes coming soon. Transworld is March 21st to the 24th. I will be there all day. I'll be all weekend. I'll be there Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, leaving out Sunday morning. No plans in particular. We're not doing anything for vendor-wise. We're not pimping scare badges. We don't have a Haunt Topic booth. We don't have a Haunter's Toolbox booth. I'm going to be there. Some of my haunt crew will be there as well. Some friends. But please, if you see me, I love to talk. I love to ramble. We can sit, talk. Meet up, talk haunt. Don't be afraid. Just come say hi. You can also find the full episode and podcast at our website, haunttopic.com. And of course, I got the plug in for scare badges. If you guys are needing some merit badges for your scare actors, go to scarebadges.com and get your badges. We got some new ones that came out. But I really enjoyed this mastermind. These lovely ladies, they drop some value bombs. And if you're a woman and you think you're the only one out there, you're not. Trust me. There's a lot of ladies, a lot of smart ladies out there that are running haunts, running scare actor troops, running their own haunt businesses. You can do it too. And guys, if you're listening and you know a woman that's trying to get started, help her out. We're all in this together. Well, let's get into this value-packed episode with the Women in Haunting, this live mastermind session. Make sure you sign up to see the next one. And don't forget, we have a Haunters Toolbox Facebook group. Just type in Haunter's Toolbox on Facebook, and I will let you in. All right, let's get started.
In the room right now, everybody that's an attendee, there's a chat box to the left. You can chat with your fellow haunters in there. You can ask us questions. We might be in there as well, texting. We're going to let the ladies have the floor tonight. We will be asking them some questions about the haunt industry, how they got started, what the business is, and well, the name of the webinar is Women in the Haunt Industry. So this is all about the ladies and their perspective of the haunt industry and how things have grown. I know most of them have been in for several years, like myself, and I think everybody in this chat room probably. Me and Daryl will probably disappear here in a little bit and let them have the floor. We also have Sylvia in the background. I'll let you guys introduce yourself here in a minute. But the audience, of course, just use that chat room. Let us, you know, ask us any questions that you have, and we'll get started. Daryl, you have anything you'd like to add before we continue?
Well, I'd like to welcome our fabulous panel here tonight. This is going to be a lot of fun, and we've got four ladies who are known in the industry, and we hope that they can come up with a whole bunch of answers to some of the questions that us norms and guys have. So we'll have you guys ask questions in the attendee chat, and we're going to have Melissa do some monitoring of the questions and asking the questions and kind of helping out on that. And I'm just going to sit back and see how the pros do it. So, ladies, we are going to disappear now. Brian, is there anything else you want to say? Do you want to get things started? And I'm just going to disappear, and we'll let those who know what they're doing do what they do well.
Sounds good.
We'll start with Melissa, since you're the first one in my top left box there. Tell us a little about your haunt history, just kind of when you got started as, you know, the haunter, quote, haunter status. Like say what year, and kind of give us your progression up till now within, let's say, 5 minutes.
Okay, so I would almost consider myself a haunter ever since I was 9 years old, because my parents did haunting. They built a tiki hut. I used to help build the tiki hut, and we used to get all dressed up and scared the trick-or-treaters and such, and then that kind of progressed into high school, where I became a theater major. My focus was on set design and acting. And when I was in high school, I actually worked at Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. When that came out, oh, I think it was only around for like a few years. And then I also acted in the Terror on Church Street, which was a year-round haunt in downtown Orlando. And I started working there the year or 2 years after Alan had left. So he and I both were part of the Terror on Church Street haunt. And I was an actor, and I learned a little bit about makeup there. I had some friends that went to Joe Blasco, so I learned a lot about makeup over there as well. But actually, in the sense of haunting, as in the haunt industry, as in present day, I guess that probably started about 5 years ago now. Wow, it's been 5 years. It's kind of hard to believe. I was just doing a home haunt out of the garage and posting pictures of different things that I was building and creating, and it caught the eye of some other people. And before I knew it, I was nicknamed Hauntzilla. And teaching seminars at different of the different haunt shows, Trans World, MHC, Halloween Extreme, Scare LA, and such, and mainly talking about or teaching faux finish techniques and distressing techniques and everything. But then about 4 years ago, my husband, James, had this great idea of starting a t-shirt business. And I was kind of behind the scenes for a little while, but here in the last year or so, I, in a lot of ways, kind of took over a lot of the artwork for our shirts. And I had this idea of taking Halloween themed shirts and making it everyday wear for everyday Halloween people. That's our new slogan, by the way. James came up with it. And wanted to kind of mishmash retro style t-shirts, skate wear, surf wear, punk wear, and kind of mash it with Halloween. And this year we launched 1031 Halloween streetwear. So that's where I'm at.
That's all under the Haunt Shirts brand, right? Is
it? It is under the Haunt Shirts brand.
Okay. Okay, Susie.
Awesome. My turn. Hi, I'm Susie Fleasick, and I want to make this short for you guys because you know I like to talk. Mm-hmm. So I got my start probably before I even knew what Halloween was. My family, I'm the youngest of 10. And my family was just always into Halloween. My dad loved like the old classic horror movies. And we're talking back before you could just go to Walmart and get a fog machine, and before you could buy everything at your local stores. My dad somehow would find the coolest decorations, and he would be, and I'm Italian, and my dad was literally like 5 foot tall. And with like a nice little belly. So, you know, he was not scary at all, but he would always put on masks and sit on the front porch for the trick-or-treaters. And they would always be, I still get messages on Facebook saying like, as a child, I was terrified of your dad, which is hilarious because he was just the sweetest thing ever. So I always loved Halloween from a really young age. And back in the 90s, we started having Halloween parties at my parents' house, and they progressed to my brother's house. And, we would just like decorate. And if you guys, you know, remember the times when, like I said, you couldn't just go to Walmart and buy stuff. You had to be really innovative with the things that you were creating. I remember my sister and I one time made this like psycho bathroom with just blood everywhere and all over the shower curtain and body parts everywhere. And I remember people would go into that bathroom for the parties and they would come out and be like traumatized, which is so funny now because you can't get that kind of reaction. They'd come out like, am I that drunk or is that the most horrifying thing I've ever seen? And I'd be like, kind of both. And that was the point. And meanwhile, I'm like 15. So, and I wasn't drunk, they were. But anyway, so the parties kind of progressed to my brother's house in the late 90s. And that's when my husband Troy came on board. We met in 1998 and we were married in 99. And we always were like, the ones that would do the Halloween parties at my brother's. We were just like the Halloween family. People would come to the parties and we'd have, you know, drinks and food and this haunted walk. And people would always be like, you should charge for this. This is amazing. You guys should really charge. And my brother and me and my husband would be like, nah, if we're going to have a party, we're not going to charge. But if we would ever charge for this, it would be as a professional haunt. So that was kind of always in the back of our heads. And we continue to have the parties. We had them for 25 years and they were just a staple in our town. Like 200, 300 people would come to these things. They were just a big bash. And my brother and my husband would get together and build props. And my husband's a machinist and my brother was an electrician. They would just put their brains together and come up with some really cool things. So people love to see that stuff. So then in 2008, my brother called me one day and he told me that the Crawford School was for sale, and which is in my hometown. And I was like, and he was like, and that's where we're going to put our haunt. Let's buy it. So in 2008, we purchased the Crawford School. We did not turn it into a haunt until 2016 because, you know, you don't just buy a building and make a haunted house with absolutely zero budget. And we quickly learned that. So we renovated a couple of the classrooms and we put some businesses in there that rented from us and would pay the bills. And then finally in 2016, we opened Crawford School of Terror, which this fall will be our fourth year as a pro haunt. And just as a little side tab, my brother Johnny that I bought the building with, that was supposed to be our business partner, got early onset dementia. So he is only 58 with dementia. And, you know, part of why I do this is for him, because he's never been through the haunt. He's not well enough to, but I really think that I do this for him too, because that is, you know, that's part of me and having him live through me, I guess, you know, with the haunt. So that is my history. I think it's Jan's turn.
Yep.
Yeah, me. First of all, I love haunt shirts. That's hauntshirts.com. I get all of my haunt shirts from there. I love them.
Oh, I didn't even have to pay for this marketing. Thanks.
I started out, I've always loved Halloween. I was a little bit on the shy side as a kid. So if you couldn't recognize me, I was very happy. My mom always dressed up in costumes for any occasion. So she kind of set a high bar for me. But in 2000, and I think it was 7, there's some disagreement about that. My husband and I moved into town and I had a blue heeler that hated the doorbell. And from my childhood, I remembered how many kids trick-or-treated in my hometown. And I thought, how do I keep my dog from eating children? And so I basically made my sister sit with me around a fake cauldron and be a witch and talk to children in creepy voices and the occasional really bad British accent. And we just had a blast. We had a blast. I think we had like 12 trick-or-treaters. But we had the most fun, and it grew from there. We did a home haunt for 7 years in my yard. The front yard was a walkthrough for the little kids, and then the backyard was set up with actual scares. And I was just getting more and more elaborate. And the last year we did it, we had over 500 people go through my yard. Now, that doesn't sound like that much, except there's 5,000 people in my town. So 10% of the population went through my yard. And my husband kind of went, get off my lawn. So I had an insurance agent contact me that winter, and she said, I have a haunted house for you. And I hadn't even told anyone I was thinking about going pro. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I thought, who does that? You have to live in a city. But I did it anyway. And this year is our 6th year. You know, we are a little limited geographically. If you look up Holdrege, Nebraska on a map, you'll see what I'm talking about. We pull from villages, but I get such a kick out of doing this. A lot of my family is involved. My husband is not. He says he would not walk across the street to see a haunted house. And I said, well, that's fine. My ticket taker didn't show up tonight, so you're doing it. But he doesn't want anything to do with it, and that's okay. He's supportive. We've grown every year since we've been open, 10 to 20% as far as our customer base. So we've done really well, I think. And I own Gray House Haunts.
Excellent.
Yay.
Can't forget about Sylvia back there.
I'm in the dark corner. I was the bad female haunter.
They you were the bad girl, camera. So we had to put you in the corner, yeah.
I don't even get a camera. Anyway, hi, I'm Sylvia Viculo, and I got my start in haunting in 2012. A friend of mine in the production business was bidding a commercial for a haunted scare trail, and they had just lost their show director, and he said, I know somebody. So 2 weeks before the haunt opened, I joined their cast as their cast manager. And it was a fun season. I learned a lot. And then at the end of the season, realized how much I didn't know. And I found MHC first, I think, actually, and went there and took classes and found Trounds World and went there and took classes. And I was with the Petrified Forest for 6 years. And 2 years ago, I left. And last year, I got to travel. And I performed in South Carolina and Michigan and Illinois and Missouri. And that was really fun. I liked that a lot. So when I got back to Florida, I got a hold of some of my scare actor friends and said, hey, let's travel. And they said yes. So this last Valentine's, we got to go up to Deceased Farm in South Carolina with my crew. and we worked as Q line for Deceased Farm, and we had a blast. And we're going to Scream Hollow in Texas in June. So that's our next, well, I'm going to a couple of conventions, but like as a performing troupe, we're going in June. So it's been fun. I've always loved Halloween. So this was just really very serendipitous for me to find theater and haunting. And then it's just like addiction. I guess you ladies understand, once you start doing it, you can't stop. So that's my story. Mine's a very short story, really, I hope. Anyway, but I've been doing it and I love it. And I'll be working during haunt season with Exit 13. So I actually have a home haunt, but I like to travel off season. So do it year round.
Nice. I see a question over here really quick before you keep going. Where are you located? That's actually for all of us because apparently we all failed in telling anybody where we're from.
So no, I think Jan said it.
I'm in Orlando, Florida is where I'm based out of.
I'm in Mexico, Missouri, and Sylvia, she came down and helped Scare Act this last season. So yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was cold too.
It was cold.
Yeah. It was cold. I'm a Florida girl. It was very cold.
You should come to Canada. We had snow a couple of times.
I have mad respect for all of you who live up north and haunt.
Yeah. It's hard.
Uh-uh. It was fun though.
Especially from Florida, you know.
Yeah, we're used to hot.
Yeah. Okay, we'll start with we'll start with Melissa again. How about any role models as you were starting in the industry, male or female?
Let me see. Role models. Well, I didn't really know anybody when I kind of popped in on the scene. As a matter of fact, I was building my own home haunt and posting pictures and all that kind of stuff. And it was a friend of mine in Houston that reached out to me and said, if I would have known this existed, I would have had you come down for it. And it was HauntCon in Houston. So whenever that was, 5 or so years ago. And yeah. And I was like, wait a minute, there's conventions? Like, I didn't even, are you kidding me? There's a whole world out here of crazy nutbags like me. and then I ended up going to Trans World for the first time, didn't know a soul, went to MHC. By the time I got to MHC, I was introduced to the Haunter Hangouts and got to know Diablo and Jay Wall and Brad and all of them, and was introduced to some more people. But I really didn't know a whole lot of people. I just kind of was introduced as it went on. But as I got to know people, Christopher DeTroy, I absolutely love him. He is a brilliant artist and just an amazing guy. So I would definitely put him on my role model list. Tattoo, for sure, Mike Crossart. He is art director and show director for 13th Floor Entertainment. And he's been in the industry forever. I had the opportunity to kind of shadow him one Halloween season. I actually flew up to Chicago and was like his little puppy dog, following him around, watching him manage this, you know, the haunt, 13th floor, and all of the people, and it was introduced to everybody, and he showed me a lot of the behind the scenes of running a haunt, because I actually had the goal or the dream, James and I both did, to open up our own haunt. It's still there as a dream. It's just kind of pushed out a little bit. Something ended up happening to where that kind of dream was not going to come to fruition, and it kind of broke my heart. I got to be with him, and so I would definitely put Tattoo high up there on that list as well of my, I guess, role models. And then I would say number three, and definitely not last or least, and that is Alan Hopps. He is extremely knowledgeable on so many different levels, and on not just on a professional side, but also on a home haunter side. And, you know, he's very approachable. He's always kind of had this like personality and mentality of anybody can walk up and talk to him. He doesn't consider himself like a celebrity, but at the same time, he knows that he has a huge following and a huge reach to people. And so he's very much a teacher in a lot of ways. And I love the fact that he is such a teacher. So he's definitely up there as well. So I would say that it's those three for sure. Interestingly enough, I had not heard of very many women in the industry that did essentially what I wanted to do or the things that I did, because I was coming from a theatrical stage production and set design and all that kind of stuff. I never really ran into any other women that did it. It was only men. And so it was, I wish that there was more. I think that there are women, but they're maybe hiding in the shadows, or I don't know, but I had not met that. I haven't had, I think I've only met like two people that was like interested in putting on the tool belt and going to town, building some stuff. And so, it was, it's been mainly just following, I guess, guys. I know that there are a lot of women haunt owners. I just haven't seen anybody necessarily in my field. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
that's where I'm at.
Excellent. That's a good list, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, Susie.
I'm probably not going to be long on this subject because I do agree with Melissa. There wasn't, you know, before I got involved, I didn't realize how many people, I didn't realize there was this whole community. You know, you didn't know that, you know, when you're just like, I'm going to say the weirdo in town who wants to open a haunted house and actually, you know, be profitable at it, people are like, that's nice. But they don't know. And I didn't know even until I, you know, realized, oh, there's Trans World. Oh, there's these things I can go to. Oh, there's a whole bunch of other people just like me. You know, I didn't know that. So for me, I agree with that. And I didn't really know anybody. And this being our fourth time at Trans World and our fourth season, we still don't know a whole bunch of people. My husband and I still, we kind of have a small circle. But the funny thing is, and this kind of ties in with when people were asking, where are you from? We're from Connellsville, Pennsylvania, which is close enough to Pittsburgh that you can do a couple haunts in a night. We're in that cluster where there's all of those haunts. And if you guys have that map, you know exactly where we are, because we've got a haunt, you know, 15 minutes this way, 15 minutes that way, an hour this way, an hour that way. You could probably make every weekend in October a haunt weekend in our area. And I think that's a good thing. So what I'm going to say about the people that influenced me were, they were the people that I grew up going to. Of course, I grew up going to JC's haunted houses, and unfortunately they're defunct now. Rich's Fright Farm in Fairchance, PA. They were, I remember the first year they opened, and I went as a child and just thought, what is this? This is amazing. Like, they just raised the bar so much higher than, you know, the JCs had. And also, we're not far from, if any of you guys know of Allen's Haunted Hayride, which I believe they are the oldest haunted hayride in the country. I think they have a sign that says that. And my dad would take us on that all the time. I grew up doing that stuff. So those were kind of the people where I remember the Allen guy, that he actually still drives the tractors. I remember one time being on one of his tractors, and he was like singing the Beverly Hillbillies song to, he had his own words to it. And you know how it says, like, about he struck gold and all that, and struck oil and stuff. And he was like applying that to his life and saying how, like, that was like his life story. He like opened up this, I mean, it was like a whole song. And my husband and I, cause it was before we opened our haunt, and we were like, this guy's telling us he's a millionaire because he opened up this haunted hayride. And we just kind of laughed about it. But, those are the people that, you know, I kind of always looked up to because I thought, wow, this is their life. Like, I can't imagine every day this being my life is just haunting, and actually, you know, making money at it in the long run. But as far as females go, you know, like Melissa said, they're out there. And I have a lot of, you know, contacts. I'm not probably going to drop any names, but, yeah, when you're on the outside, and I think Lexi, I'm looking at the questions on the side. You might feel that way about like, okay, where is everybody that's like me? And we're out there. You got to get in there and you got to find the people, but, it's just a whole other thing. Troy and I refer to a couple people when we're talking about people in the haunt industry, two people that are not in the haunt industry will say things like, they're kind of a celebrity in the haunt industry. You wouldn't understand. And I think you guys get that because outside of this, nobody gives a shit who any of us are. Sylvia's laughing at me. Because you know what I mean. Nobody else knows. And to everybody else, we're just a bunch of weirdos.
Susie, I love you.
So that's like basically like we're nobody to anybody else. So for me to say there were any role models, there wasn't any because they really didn't know, aside from just people in group chats. And it was even before Facebook had Haunters Hangout, Haunters Toolbox. Like I was on Haunt World Forum, I think back in like early 2000s or whenever Larry created that. So yeah, that's my answer. I'm going to pass it on to Jan.
I have a list. I was also on the Haunt World Forum, and there weren't a lot of women on there. And so I kind of started paying attention to Sue Gray down in Texas. She was a female owner, didn't have a husband involved. And so I kind of just started watching her comments, and I eventually contacted her. Like I said before, I'm actually a little bit of a shy person, so reaching out is a little hard for me. But she was really kind to me and gave me some good advice. It was a long time ago. I don't even remember what it was. But I've kind of just followed her ever since then. I've stolen a couple of her ideas with her permission, of course. So she's definitely an influence on me. And Alan Hopps. Before I knew who Alan Hopps was, you know, the celebrity in the haunt world, I just thought it was some guy that made things in his backyard. I really did. He was making trash bag corpses for a fence. And I thought, this guy's crazy, but I could do that. And I started doing those things. And then I come to figure out, you know, I've been stalking this guy on YouTube that's actually kind of a celebrity. So definitely one for me. And I have a new one. Her name is Marla Van Lannen, and she was on Haunters Hangout for the Haunter versus Human. And if you've not seen her picture, I will pull it up later. Amazing hag witch. She's now kind of my idol. And I also, I admire anyone that promotes the industry from the inside. And if you're of assistance to other people to encourage their success, I admire you. And so that would include Brian and Daryl and many other people that maybe I don't even know their names.
Thank you.
Well, that's why we like to have you ladies on here. And some of these other people that we don't know about, now all of our chat people are attending about. So we're going to give Sylvia a chance to drop some names of her role models now.
Well, I was very fortunate, I guess. The haunt owners that I started with were women. So I came into this industry thinking a lot of women did this. I was delusional, ladies. Let me have it. But the cool thing is there really were. And it's like Melissa talked about, once I started going to conventions and reaching out, I remember Midwest Haunters, Killer Katie gave an acting seminar, and I was floored. She was amazing. And I learned so much from her. And she was gracious, God bless her, gave me her Facebook. I'm sure there's days that she still may regret that. But it was so neat to see a woman. You were talking about, Melissa, that you didn't have a lot of women. I work with the actors. So that was my thing, is she did exactly what I did. And it was so neat to find somebody that had been doing it for as many years as she'd been doing it. And I was like a sponge in her seminar, just soaking it all up. Alan Hopps is a given. I don't think there's a person in this industry that doesn't have an Alan Hopps story where he has just been above and beyond generous. But I want to give a side shout out, and that's to Shannon Hopps, because when I first started in this industry, I would travel to all these things, but I was always by myself. And Shannon would notice that, and she would like take me under her wing. And I'm a grown woman. I don't need a babysitter. That's not what it felt like. It was just nice. It was nice to have somebody, like, I can't do anything for them. I'm a nobody. And how you treat somebody who can't do something for you is really just a nice thing. So she influenced me to be on the lookout for the new faces at places, and to try to reach out and be friendly so they feel like they're welcomed into the fold too. And that's something that, like you were saying, we all have our little groups, and it's easy to get cliquish, and not meaning to, not being rude or disrespectful, but we only get to see each other at conventions most of the time because we're working. So it's nice to remember that though. And a couple other people I want to give major shout outs to: Scott Swenson. I have the theater background too. So he was one of the ones that a lot of his philosophies and his teaching ways made sense to me because he approached it from that kind of background. John Leffenboyd does the same thing. Teresa Walker from Zap, Jillian Luce from Zap. Oh God, Rebecca. I'm not even gonna try her last name, from Exit 13, female haunt owner up in Michigan. There are so many people. I think every woman haunter I've ever met has influenced me in some way, shape or form, whether they be an actress or an owner. It's just, it's nice to look and say, you too. And they're like, yeah, me too. And I'm glad that you guys are doing this kind of thing. I do appreciate it. Like she said, you, Brian and Daryl, for letting us have a chance to speak out and let other women know that you're not alone, that there's a lot of us. And if you just look, and I think we're growing in numbers every year, the trends are even changing. Like, yeah, little girls aren't wanting to be princesses anymore. They want to be the scary, you know, I don't know. It's a neat time to be in haunting, because I really feel it's going to continue to grow and leaps and bounds for women and all people who want to haunt, you know, really. That's my fan list. I mean, there's so many. I could go on all night, so I'm trying to keep it short. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there that have helped shape us, or me, on my journey, and I appreciate them all. For the people that sit and talk to you out at the breaks, you know, when you're between seminars and you run into somebody from West Virginia or Arizona or Australia, you know, it's a neat community. It really
is. I've got a question based on something that Susie had mentioned. She said, you know, talking about haunting is your life. Now, how generally, women have different roles in community and in life than men do. How is haunting is your life? How does that affect what you do with the rest of the things that society sees you as taking care of the kids, doing all this, doing all the other stuff, right? How does haunting being your life affect all of that?
Oh, am I saying for me? Oh.
Anybody.
Go, let's go.
I find that question very funny, because we're the Addams family.
Hey, my dog's name is Wednesday Addams, so I get it.
I you know, for years now, so for 5 years now, when it would get to be August, September, right when school starts, you know, I would walk up to the elementary school to pick up my daughters, and I would be, you know, completely covered in paint and stain and lots of red, permablood, that kind of thing. I would get the looks from people. Where I live, so I live in Frisco, Texas, which is north of Dallas. And the community that I live in is very affluent. And they actually, I know you've heard of like the Housewives of Orange County and all that kind of stuff. Like there's a Housewives of Collin County, which is where I live. And there's no show, but they could have their own show because they fit that stereotype of the TV housewife. Big hair, lots of rhinestones, lots of makeup, you know, very, very nice vehicles and certain kind of attitude. I don't fit. I've never fit. For as long as I can remember, as a matter of fact, I used to go to James and tell James that the circle of friends that we were a part of, the wives don't really like me because I'm weird. I'm odd. I have tattoos and I, you know, wear skulls on my clothes and I have skulls in our decor and I write psychological horror. And so whenever I was excited about a new story that I was writing, they would look at me and say, "What the frick is wrong with you?" like honestly, how do you even come up with that kind of stuff? You're sick. Like they really, I've always been an outcast, even in high school and such. And so I don't know that I will ever fit in that capacity. And to be honest with you, I don't think I ever want to fit in that capacity. It's having an effect on my children. And I'm not going to say in a negative way. They're finding their own and they're becoming their own and they love who they are. Our youngest, Taylor, we just had open house last Thursday, and all of the kids had on the wall what looked like a flip-up card, and on it was "Guess who I am," and it would list out all these different things that they, you know, about themselves, so you can try and guess which kid is who. And Taylor wrote, he actually wrote, "I'm part of the haunt industry, or rather, my parents are." So, fifth grader is
narrowed that down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, she would go to school dressed up like my haunt character, Rosa, with the scar and the contact. I got in trouble. She got in trouble. Not allowed to show blood or something like that at school. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I would say that in a whole, I'm actually at a point in my life where I am 100% comfortable with myself and comfortable with the fact that I'm different and I'm odd and I'm dark and mysterious and that I'm not going to be, you know, a housewife of Collin County. I feel like I answered the question, but then I feel like I may have detoured.
No, hey, that was good. Ramble. Have you watched our shows before? Susie, can you comment on the same thing?
Yeah, sure. Actually, my experience is probably just the opposite. I have a nail salon. I'm in the beauty industry. So I do wear a lot of makeup and I do like to get dressed up and look pretty. My nails are never done, so don't judge me. But yeah, I just always, I want to see people's reactions when they meet me for the first time and I say, "Oh yeah, I have a nail salon." And just seeing me and meeting me, then I'm like, and also, this is, you know, what I do in the fall. You know, it's a year-round business. We all know that. But for them, it's not, you know, the people that aren't in the industry, they don't realize that we work on it all year long. It's funny though, on a side note, it's funny how like, it'll be like September 1st and people are like, "I bet you're, you know, starting on the haunt." And I'm like, "What?" You're kidding, right? Because if I'm starting on the haunt now, I'm in deep shit. We don't do it all the time. My clients, God love my clients. I've had my nail salon now for close to 20 years and they've known me. And so whenever I was like, "Yeah, well, you know, we're finally opening the haunt or a haunt or whatever." And people were like, "I knew this, that was always your dream. I knew you'd do it." So, it's very accepted by, you know, people that know me and in this town, and my town's really small. There's like 7,000 or 8,000 in my town. So, you know, it's very accepted and people love it. It's something fun to do and stuff like that. So, you know, but I, as far as kids go, you know, I have three kids. They are 12, 14, and 18. And my 18-year-old is the boy and the other two are girls, and they all three act in the haunt and they're all amazing. And my youngest, Ivy, who's 12, is actually our main character, Margaret. So if you would ever go to our website, CrawfordSchoolofTerror.com, and you read our story, Margaret was a sixth grade girl who killed her teacher. She had a crush on him and she killed the teacher, and the other teacher she had, that he was dating. So that's kind of the premise of the whole haunt and everything. So, but Ivy is, she loves it. I mean, she absolutely loves it. I actually pulled up a picture of her from our Instagram. And I don't even know if you'll be able to see it and where the heck my thing is, but there's Ivy. Wait.
Other way. There. Can I bring it up a little bit? Got it.
That's my Ivy. That's Margaret. And yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do when she gets a little bit older, but luckily she hasn't grown in a while. So she's going to be a 12-year-old for a while. And I'm only 5 foot. So hopefully, fingers crossed, she doesn't grow. Like, what parent says that? I hope my daughter never grows. It'll be great for my business. I know. I'm nuts. But anyway,
yeah,
so.
Sweetie, have a grape.
I know. Like, stay in your closet. I swear I'm not like that. But anyway, so yeah, I don't feel like it's ever anything that that's been not widely accepted by me. And I don't really think it affects, like, last year for Valentine's Day, or maybe the year before, Ivy made her Valentine box, the Crawford School of Terror box. She made it herself. It was Crawford School of Terror. You opened up the little doors and there were like people being murdered inside. And you know, I never got a phone call or anything. So I guess everybody around here just knows, like, we're, you know, that's us. But yeah, I don't think it's really changed anything about, I think the original question was like, has it affected the way you raise your family or your everyday life? I don't think it really has. I'm not the person, I know there's a lot of people out there, a lot in the haunt industry. I'm not the person who, has a Halloween tree at Christmas time. I still have a Christmas tree and I still have, you know, Santa Claus and I do all that stuff. I just don't, because I enjoy every season, but we're always working on haunt stuff and we're always doing that. You know, it's always haunt time, of course, to us, because we're constantly looking for new things and coming up with new ideas. But I enjoy the rest of my life like normal people do. I'm not like all about it. Like, you know, I don't, you know, I wear skull things all year, but I'm not, you know, I'm not completely obsessed with Halloween that everything has to be Halloween. It's not like that. But yeah, so I think it's just been widely accepted because people just know my family, we always had the haunted parties and stuff. So people kind of expected it from somebody in my family to eventually make a business out of it. So that's my answer.
Dan?
I don't have children, so they don't pay any price for me being the weird one. But I'm like Melissa, I've always been a little bit off center, I guess. You know, I look like the lady next door, and you know, and I rescue dogs. You can see my dog over here. There they are. So you know, I'm just like this nice Midwestern lady. But I have this much darker side, and I actually really enjoy that darker side. I wear haunt shirts year round. My husband probably gets really tired of that, but I'm just kind of a jeans and t-shirts kind of gal. Just how I am. And also, you know, I'm frankly, I'm just too old to worry about sitting with Barbie anyway. I'd much rather sit with somebody interesting than pretty.
Amen.
But I, you know, as far as a social reaction, I've had a few interesting ones. I live, you know, in the part of the Bible Belt, really. It's the Northern Bible Belt, but it's here. I've had people stop me on the street because they saw my signs on the side of my truck, and they'd say, oh, do you run that Halloween haunted house? And I'd say, yeah. And they said, oh, well, I'll pray for you. And my response now is, and I'll pray for you. you know, I've had people, I'm not sure how to say this, people introduce me to others. And of course, people always say, well, what do you do? What do you do for a living? And well, I don't make a living at this. But what I do is I own a Halloween haunted house. And some people go, you're kidding. That is so cool. But a lot of people go, oh, well, you know, and I've had people explain me in front of me to new people, which is a little hurtful. You realize that they're a little ashamed of you. And then I go to Gray House, I recover, I create, and then I'm happy again. So, you know, there is a little bit of a stigma. You just have to accept that. You have to get a little thicker skin if you're going to do this. And I do think, you know, going back to our ultimate theme of being women, we like to be liked. Men do it too, but I think women have even more tendency. We want to be liked, and you have to find that place in you where you say, this is me. You know, I'm going to wear t-shirts and I'm going to wear jeans and tennis shoes and be covered in paint. And that's where I'm the happiest. So that's where I'm going to be.
Sylvia, how does that affect you?
Well, I'm fortunate. My children were all grown by the time I really started doing theater. I mean, haunting. They grew up with a mother that did theater, though. So, yeah, like you, Melissa, mom would come covered if I'd been working on sets or if we had rehearsals that night. So they were kind of used to having a weird mom. I tell them it builds character. They all made it to adulthood. So, and they're productive members of society. So I guess I did something right. My one son still haunt acts occasionally, which is fun. The other ones really weren't that interested in it. They would come through as guests and stuff, but it just wasn't their thing. And that's fine. But they've always known that I enjoy the creative part of it. I love working with actors. Somebody said it's like herding cats, and it's true, but it's something that I do really well. Like I had 5 kids. I'm used to multitasking. I can handle all of that. And you, as far as how it affects my normal life, I was always a theater person anyway. So I got fortunate. Like I could have been the odd one out so much more, but I was fortunate. There was a community theater in my town, or the town next door. And I found my people, at least, that were accepting of me pretty young. So I was in a much more environment where being weird was okay, you know, and encouraged even maybe. So that gave me the guts when I got older to just keep doing it. Like, and I wanted to direct. I didn't want to be an actress. I wanted to be the one behind this. That was just my thing. And there wasn't a lot of women doing that either. But I loved it, just that whole creative side. So my kids, I hope it didn't affect them too negatively. I hope it showed them how important the arts are, regardless of what it is. My kids all were musicians and band, the whole nine yards. So I just, you know, you'd have to ask my kids how badly they're affected. I mean, I got them downstairs, you know, I could just call them up. You could ask them yourself. But no, they're all adults. They're good kids. I don't know. I guess they're just so used to having a weird mom, it never crossed their mind that there are normal ones.
Well, what I am seeing here, though, is your kids, your dogs, your husbands, and the whole family have some great leaders here. So I'm very, very happy that that you guys are answering these questions, because I know we've got a couple of more that we have in the list. So, Brian, what's our next question?
Well, we'll just throw this question out there to all you ladies. And whoever wants to answer. We have one from Lexi about she loves Halloween so much and would love to eventually run her own haunted house, but has no idea where to start. Any suggestions? Is there things that she can work on now, even when she doesn't have the funds to buy a building yet?
Absolutely. So I know that of all of us, I'm the one that does not own a haunt. But I do own 2 businesses. And the truth is that owning a haunted house is owning a business. And that is probably the one thing that I've come across with so many people that want to make that jump, that they don't make that connection right away. So with a business, there are leases involved and needing to understand the different kinds of leases, retail, triple nets, industrial, all of those different kinds of things. I know that when we started our business, the first thing we did was put together a business plan. And I think that's probably the very first thing you need to do when it comes to wanting to own a haunt or any kind of business. And ladies, please correct me if you think I'm wrong here, but a business plan is going to help you develop, you know, that structure and foundation that you're going to need for your business. So understanding your cash flow, understanding your profits and losses, understanding balance sheets and general ledgers and all of that kind of stuff, having a projection of what you hope to make in, you know, with your haunt. And that will help in determining your ticket sales. So if you, you know, guesstimate that you're going to have at least 4,000 people come in 1 month and you're charging $10 a ticket, are you going to be able to pay your rent? Are you going to be able to pay your utilities? So really approaching the owning of a haunt, you need to approach it like opening up any kind of business. I would even say take some business courses. There's lots of different business seminars that are offered at the different conventions, Transworld, HauntCon, MHC. I've taught those types of seminars on opening up a business, or the, you know, 10 things that you need to know between now as a home haunter to owning that haunt business and such. So I would say if that's something you want to do, you can start that now. Start doing the research, start understanding the numbers behind it, and kind of go from there. The theme of a haunt, that's the fun. But you can't have the fun if you don't have the foundation.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interject. I think that a really good place to start, and where many of us maybe started, purchase Kelly Allen's book, So You Want to Be a Hauntrepreneur. I purchased that twice, actually, because I had it and lost it and bought it again. It's a good book. That is where you want to start. Everything that Melissa just said is in that book. Everything's in it, handheld version. It's all in there. And like you touched on, you know, the fun stuff is all the rest of it, because I think we maybe are all guilty of thinking that it was going to be so much fun. And then we got into it and we're managing actors and we're talking insurance and we are, you know, doing all these things that we're like, oh, I just totally wasn't even thinking that. And we're in Pennsylvania. So my husband actually is, he goes away to Harrisburg to be a, like, inspector and like just all those legal things and the little things that you have to do that you don't think about when you first start. Yes, it's fun. Yes, you want to, you know, you have all these ideas for, you know, sets and scenes and things like that. But definitely get Kelly Allen's book. I see that it was asked. So you want to be a haunt entrepreneur, or maybe hauntrepreneur? I don't know. Is it haunt entrepreneur? Whatever. Anyway, so get that book, because I really do. I would highly recommend that book. But yeah, all that stuff's in it.
Yeah, I would suggest lots of research, look into how to market a business. If you're the owner operator particularly, which is what most people want to be, you want to also develop some good leadership skills. And if you can't develop them, then you need to surround yourself with people that have them. You know, utilize different people's talents, because you're not going to be the all talented, all knowing one, you know, like all of us are.
Oh, man.
I'm so sorry.
I learned so much that first year that it was just, I learned a lot about my failings, to be honest. But, you know, that's just another lesson. I would also suggest, if at all possible, if you want to start a haunt, obviously work in one. And try to get as close to that owner or that operational director, manager person, so that you see what really goes into it. It is dealing with inspections and replacing fire extinguishers, and it's making sure that there's water in the fridge to, you know,
clean the bathrooms.
A number of things. So,
Sylvia, do you have any comments as well on this?
It's so funny, because after I first started there, all my friends were like, oh, don't you want to open your own haunt now? And I was like, no, I do not. Because exactly what all these ladies just said. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love running my little acting troupe. but that's like six people. I will come and cast manage any of y'all's actors. That I can do. But I admire them because it is a lot of business. So I admit I don't want all that responsibility. I like being a cog in the machine because I know what I do well. And it's not for me. I don't want that headache. I'm not going to lie. That's I admire women haunters for doing that. But I like I said, I'm very happy just being an actor and working with actors and training actors. Know what your strengths are, I guess, too. You like she said, hire a good team. I'm not real super strong in business, but I got a damn good PR girl. And I got, you know what I'm saying? It's the crew that you assemble around you because you're only as good as the people that you lead and inspire, mm-hmm. period. You know, and you've got some amazing inspiration right here, these ladies.
Yep. Now, one of the other questions we had that's sort of related, what unique challenges do you have as women managing the haunt staff and managing the haunt? So I guess this is for the others, not necessarily Melissa, unless you got some. Do you have special challenges managing a business as a female business owner?
I think probably the biggest challenge just as being a female business owner is being taken seriously or credibility. I get questioned all the time. My other business outside of Haunt Shirts is called Crafted. It's the Woodcraft Studio. And nine times out of 10, when James is in there helping me while I'm instructing a class, the guys in particular, it's mainly guys that do this, will go to James and ask James all the questions and not come to me. And James will say, nope, you don't need to be, I don't know it. You need to ask Melissa or she's the boss or something to the, mm-hmm. that effect. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge that I face in being an owner, a business owner, is just the credibility or being taken serious. Like really, she's the boss. She's the one that knows about this, that, and the other. You know, you're not, the, you know, it's sadly a very sexist world, even outside of the haunt industry. And I know that it exists inside the haunt industry as well. So that's my take on it.
I agree with that. I think that I even just going to Transworld, walking around, you know, I'm not a very tall person. I'm very small in stature. And that's always kind of been something like with me, even, you know, as I, you know, just being anywhere, like, you know, being in a store, you know, the last one to get waited on. And I always thought it was because I was small and short, but I'm starting to realize it's because I'm a woman. And I think a lot of people have a problem with that. And so I do agree. And even going to Transworld and when we're trying to talk to people on the show floor and stuff, I do notice that they go to Troy and they want my husband and we're partners, we're equal partners. There are, you know, we refer back and forth to one another for purchases and things. Neither one of us are considered the boss of the other. We make our decisions together. But I do find that they want to talk to Troy more than they want to talk to me because what the heck can I possibly know? So, you know, it's kind of like that. And I did, you know, Sunday, whenever we kind of got together, the people that are on this webinar don't know this, but we had kind of a little meeting, those of us that are on here. And I brought up the idea of just speaking of sexist about, you know, in the haunt industry, there's a lot of women who are only known for, I'm just going to say it, tits and ass. And sex sells, and we know that. I feel like we just need to be very smart about how we use it. And when I say use it, I mean it can be a game. And you know, in this generation, in this era that we're in right now with the Me Too movement and everything, it's a very, very, very slippery slope. But I do find that I do notice there are still a lot of women out there that use their sexuality in the industry to get certain places. And I feel like sometimes that hinders those of us that actually want to use our brains and be like, hey, pay attention to me over here. I'm making decisions too, like me on the show floor saying like, you know, don't just walk past me, give me the pamphlets and the information. Don't walk over to him and give them to him. I'm here too. And I'm, you know, part owner. And they may not know that. Who knows? Maybe they think I'm his daughter because, you know,
maybe, I don't know, I look really young. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, but I'm just saying. Yeah, I do find that there's a lot of that. And I don't know. I feel like as women, we kind of need to really realize what's going on there as far as that goes. And like I said, sex sells and we know it. And there's nothing wrong with that side of it. But we're so much more than just that. So
one of the things that I've run into is my husband has a quite successful business. And they will come up to him and they assume that he owns my haunt, but they never assume I own his business.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets the credit no matter who did the work. And he started to notice this since this has happened, because he also knows how hard I work and how dedicated I am. And he knows I deserve the credit, you know, along with, of course, a wonderful team that I have. But he always says, I don't do anything. She does it all. I did the first year I opened Gray House. It wasn't even open yet. And I had to add stairwells so that I could get groups through the entire place without running across each other. And I called a contractor, told him what I was doing. I never mentioned my husband's name. And I set up a meeting to meet the contractor. He came to the house. And my husband happened to be there. And the contractor didn't speak to me. He only spoke to my husband. And I got kind of mad. And I said, I'm the one writing the checks. I'm the one hiring you. You need to talk to me. He did not get the job. as far as actors, I do a little test when I do an audition, because I know that some men do have a problem taking direction from a woman. And what I do is I just put them through the paces like anybody else. But if they won't listen to me, I just simply won't hire them. You know, I can't have in the middle of a show night and I'm trying to make a correction or trying to assist them and they just completely ignore me. They just won't be there. I've not had that happen with females. I've only had it with males. So, you know, whether it's their personality or it's a true, you know, sex discrimination, I don't know for sure. But it is definitely out there. Sylvia?
I'm sorry. I was just listening to you. Got me thinking. I was really hardcore on that, especially when you started talking about the actors, because that's basically what I did for 6 years was manage the trails there with all the different performers and all their different personalities. And I'm going to give us trick of the trade, because there are, you know, it sucks, but as women, we've had to adapt and change to go on and make things work for us as well. So if I have a particularly stubborn actor who thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread, I put them in the worst place in the whole house and tell him that I need him there because he's the best person and I can't rely on anybody else to do the job that he can do for me. You know, and I'm sure we've all done examples of that with various encounters that we had, because even when I did theater as a woman director, you know, and I have a cast of like 50 actors, you know, and all COD musicals are a nightmare. They're just as bad as haunt actors. I'm not going to lie. But it's something I love. And when you get a good crew, it makes everything all worthwhile. And the ones that are there for whatever reasons that aren't for the love of haunting, they do tend to weed themselves out. And it can be a nightmare, though, because, I mean, I had 100 plus actors every night. And you've got, you know, Joe Blow over here thinking he's the prima donna. And why isn't my costume have these buttons? And I don't want to wear this. And I want to wear it like this. And you're just like, for the love of freaking God, just give them the instructions and send them into the house. Okay. I mean, it's not rocket science, but you don't want to be rude. You want to encourage them. And as women, we are predisposed, I guess this doesn't sound terribly sexist, but we tend to be more nurturing, I think, than men. You know, and being able to step back and have that firm hand, a lot of men don't want to be receptive to that. And it's just like, but like you said, Jan, if they can't be open to me as their creative leader, I can't work with them, because that it's detrimental to the entire crew. If you've got somebody that just doesn't want to listen to you and they start griping, and the person on their set listens and they start griping, and it just spreads like wildfire. And you can't have that in a crew. The machine has to flow smoothly, and managing them is a challenge, but it's something I love to do, because getting there and you can reach them when they're creative and they get, and it clicks for them, and they get a really good scare, or they had a really good distraction, and you're walking through doing your walkthrough, and they catch you, and like, Sylvie, did you see that group that just came through? I just blah, blah, blah. And you're like, rock on, you know, because they get it and they're enjoying it. And that's what the reward for me is, you know, because you do have the ups and downs, of course, but being able to get a group of people to have a semi-common vision and carry it from the beginning to the end is a pretty cool thing. So whether you're the builder or whether you're the actor, whether you're, we all get in there and make that thing happen. And I like that, because I've done all parts. I've helped work on the build and stuff like that in Florida in July on an out there scare trail. Yeah. Mad props to the builders. That was crazy.
Okay.
But yeah, well, just managing troops.
I've got two questions here that we're going to combine sort of into the same thing. Earlier, I believe it's Shay that had asked, where is it? Do you think being Lady Haunters, you approach scare design differently in a psychological manner? And also, Jonna had mentioned, have you ever had the issue of people thinking, oh, it's woman-owned, it won't be scary? So do people know that your haunts are owned and ran by women? And as you're helping to design it or designing it all yourself, I'm not sure how the duties go, do you approach it differently in designing your haunt and rooms in your haunt from how, you know, one of us males would?
I do. I definitely approach it. Well, I shouldn't say definitely. There are things that you won't see in my haunt that you might see in male owned haunts. I've seldom use women as victims. I always use them as the aggressors.
I do that too.
I didn't realize that female chainsaws. Are you kidding me?
And I do that intentionally. It's partly because I'm a woman and I want to feel empowered, not like I'm some victim and, you know, trying to run in high heels all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also partly because I'm using that in a psychological way. 2 years ago, I think it was, I took a 30-something-year-old woman and I made her into this grandma figure and gave her a chainsaw because I can hear you, Sylvia. She would speak to them like grandma, and then she would whip out this chainsaw. And so I'm lulling them into this false sense of security from that psychological aspect, and empowering women at the same time. And, you know, that was, it was a great success. As far as people thinking my haunt won't be scary because a woman owns it, I've not been told that. I think most people think a man owns it, to be honest.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah. I don't make a big, I've never made a big point of it. The only time it bothered me was there was, again, 2 years ago, a pop-up haunt in my town, and that was owned by a man. And immediately after that, people thought he owned my haunt. Mm-hmm. And so that was really aggravating. But, you know, it's part of the gig. I'm still here. He's not.
Yeah, I feel like also – I don't think anybody realizes that me and my husband own it together. And if they do, they probably just cancel me out. And they're probably like, yeah, she doesn't matter. She's just the face. She doesn't do anything. So I don't think that affects whether or not we're scary. But we did actually have a little bit of an issue. Like when we first opened, because it was a schoolhouse and people thought it was for kids, and I can understand that, but we would literally get kids at the door who would buy a ticket and then literally 30 seconds later be screaming and running up the steps. So, you know, we learned the hard way that we kind of have to put an age limit on the haunt, because just because it's a school doesn't mean it's for kids. So we also don't have like a kid's ticket price. But that's the only reason that's the only thing we've ever had as far as people saying, oh, it's for kids, it won't be scary. Not anything about a woman, but what Jan said about having the women. It's funny because like my main character, like, you know, my villain is my 12-year-old daughter. So, you know, she's the scariest thing in that whole place. And, you know, you'll hear people walking in and they're like, are we going to see Margaret tonight? Like, who would ever think a 12-year-old girl would be the scariest thing you're going to see all night long? I mean, you know, it is pretty damn scary when you think about it. Kids are scarier than
kids
adults.
Kids are creepy, yeah.
It's pretty messed up.
Kids so, creep me
out. Yeah, kids are weird. Like, honestly, like how many times, and not even lying, she has actually stood by my bed in the middle of the night and I've woken up like, what the hell are you doing here? Well, I think we've all had that with our kids where they're just like, I can't sleep. And you're like, ah, get away. But so yeah, I feel like I do that too. And I always feel like I definitely don't have the girls in heels running away with, you know, their boobs out and their I don't have that sort of thing. But as far as room design or set design, is that any different as far as the way I would do it versus the way my husband would do it? You know, this is year four, so we're reaching out for a lot more help this year, whereas in the beginning we couldn't afford to hire help. So him and I were the only ones building and designing. And it would be so funny because I'd be like, okay, here's what we need to do. We need to take this material and we need to do this with it, or we need to take this paint and we need to do that with it. And he's on night shift a lot of times, so we're on separate schedules. So a lot of times he'd be like, I worked on it all day, come see it. And I'd be like, that's not at all what I meant. Like, at all. What the hell is this? So I think our visions are like way different. And I'm like, and I will literally be like, why would you do this? And he will spend like hours working on it and be so proud of himself. But I think just men in general and attention to detail, and just things like that, that we kind of miss it a little bit in that. So, Troy will say to me like, oh, that doesn't matter, nobody will see that, which, you know, that's a whole other topic we could go off on, because I have a very hard time with detail sometimes, because sometimes you spend so much damn time getting something right and you know the only people that are going to pay attention are other haunters. So you're like, really, does Joe Schmo care that this is perfect? Do they even know? And, you know, so you drive yourself crazy trying to get things right. And so I'm trying to get out of that. But yeah, like we definitely have different visions of what is scary and what's not, which I think actually makes us a really good team in the end. So
I agree with the women role part, kind of a false insecurity. When I was running my home haunt, the charity home haunt or whatever, that we were going to turn into a pro haunt, which was going to be called the Dead Zone. The last room that you would go through, when you came up to it, you had this bunker and a woman manning a gun. And she was my best friend, or is my best friend, Melissa. I want to see if you guys can see the picture. You see her there?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
Yes.
So when people came into the room, you had her, and on the other side was a fenced in containment area where infectants or zombies or whatever were reaching through and trying to get at you. So people, and she's going, come on, come on, come on. They're waving them in. Little do they know that the infectants were not the scare. She was the scare, and she would aim that gun at everybody's head and go, and, you know, they would hit the floor and scare them. And so I did the same kind of thing. I wanted women to be more of the aggressors and the attackers, because people have, and women do it too, it's not just men, they have this false sense of security when they see a woman that, oh, she's going to take care of me, or she's not going to scare me, or whatever the case may be. And I also had our daughter in the haunt, and she was also the scare. She scared people all night long, and you'd hear them coming out of the haunt going, oh my gosh, that little girl scared the crap out of me and stuff. So I know when I approached it, but I don't know that that's necessarily a haunt design or even a scene design. That's just more of a trying to get, that's approaching people psychologically with the acting. When it comes to like actually the design part of it, I do think that women, at least I do, I can't speak for all women, But I know when I'm designing a room, I come at it with a real psychological point of view. I write psychological horror, and I studied fear and the causes of fear and that kind of thing. And so when I go into designing anything, I'm telling a story, and I'm coming at it from a mess with your head kind of way. So I that's like one of the things I taught about, you know, haunt design in general is wanting your haunt to tell a story. That's how my haunts were. You had a beginning, you had a middle, you had a climax, you had the end. And so I always approach my design from that is getting into people's psyche a little bit more. And that doesn't necessarily mean having the most elaborate room or anything like that. It actually would drive me absolutely crazy because I built this, you know, my team and I would build this beautiful charity haunt, and it had so much detail and design and you know, I was really, really proud of it. And the damn black room with fishing string hanging down was the scariest room. It's black. Nobody sees anything.
And oh my gosh.
We had an actor in there with a 55 barrel drum, metal drum, and you know those electric pneumatic hammers? They would come into the black room, and they're already scared half to death because it's a black room and they can't see anything, but then you have the brrr really loud in your ear and scares the living shit out of them. Of all the rooms in the entire freaking haunt, that's the one they remember.
Yep. Same. You spend hours, weeks on detail, and they want black rooms. And you're like,
I know, this was a funny. My boss is, they did the laser swamp, and that got voted as the fan favorite in a poll. And my boss was like, you guys, though, all these sets, we build all the, and three little lasers and some fog.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was the crowd favorite. So you can never tell. Audiences are different.
So, but sometimes we find that some of that detail is because some of, as you mentioned, Susie, it's only the other haunters that go to that level of detail. So it's good to mix things up, have some stuff with lots of detail, have some stuff with a little detail, but looking at it from a different point of view. And that's cool. Cool. We are getting close to the end here. I'm just kind of going through and making sure we've got all of our questions answered. I think we've got everything on the list. Brian has one more, I believe.
Well, we did have a question about keeping your life organized during haunt season. How do you keep
I'm not even lying when I wrote that about my son's girlfriend. She actually was we had a 10-minute escape room this year, and she ran our escape room. They started dating right around Labor Day. So I was like, Drew, you know she's not coming to the house, right? Like, and he's like, yeah, mom, I got this. I know, I already told her. And so she was one of our haunters, and we actually had this joke that she would be like, I'm kind of afraid to go in your house because knowing that I'm not allowed to go in there, it makes me like kind of afraid for my life that what is in there. And I'd be like, well, and her name's Echo. I'd be like, well, Echo, it's not exactly what's in there. It's what's not in there that's going to scare you. So we made up this like, and we laughed about it. I'm like, it's actually not really a house. It's like, it's a solar system and we just float around in there. Because I don't know where I came up with that, but I was like, yeah, you just like get sucked in whenever you open our front door, and we all just kind of like bounce off the walls inside the house. And she's like, yeah, I don't doubt it, but yeah, I do not let anybody in my house after August 1st. Everything goes to shit. It's gone. No workouts, no eating right. My house is trashed. You know, luckily if it's nice out and we got the pool up and running and the kids are having friends over, you stay outside because you're not coming in. You know, we eat out all the time. We try to make healthy choices. If something has to go, and one of those things or 10 of those things is going to be, you know, eating good. We're still going to eat, but we're not going to eat the best. You know, the house is just not going to be clean. It's not, it's just, not. And that's all I can say. And it's got to be okay. And you got to be okay with it, because something has to give. Your priorities just completely turn whenever you're in that,
you're
in that
hot
season. It just is. Wednesday. Sorry, guys. That's Wednesday.
So I have a question when you talk about eating right. So are fruit roll-ups a healthy food?
Absolutely. They're gluten-free too. So, you know, if you're like me and you're celiac, okay, good. You I'll can stock up on doctor. Those. We're good.
One question. Did everybody, you all finished answering that one, or do you all want to chip in?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I guess I'm an oddball. I can't say that the house necessarily goes to hell. I have a room in the house that becomes dedicated to haunting when we were doing our home haunt. But I have to give major, major props to my husband and my daughter for kind of, you know, they pick up the slack and we work together as a team. You know, we take care of the dishes and we take turns on who's going to make the dinner and, you know, getting the laundry done as a team effort. And so it just, you know, we kick our lives into overgear and say, hey, look, we're going to have fun and do all this stuff. But at the same time, we have responsibilities at home, and that might require taking somebody to the doctor or to a dentist appointment or something like that. So I've that's one thing that I've been pretty fortunate. We had one year where Halloween went a little, it took, for some reason, it took over our house more than it ever had before. But for the most part, we keep it confined to a single room that we called our staging room. And then the rest of the house was good.
Uh-oh. Oops, that disappeared. Oops. I did not cut her off. My hand is nowhere near the mouse. Okay.
That's hurtful. I'm just going to say right now, I'm next because you can't even see me. He's just going to cut me off. I was never here.
She disappeared, Melissa, but now we're moved on to Sylvia, so we'll let her talk for a while.
I think she's still talking.
No, I'm good. You go ahead.
Now, could you repeat the question? Because I was listening to her so much, and then when she left, I was like, I got lost. The house, forget it. No. And I don't even have kids anymore, like little ones. I don't – props to you, Melissa. I don't – can you send your child here maybe? Because she helped my life keep going. I mean, literally, like it looks like Halloween – threw up in my house during season. Now, last year it wasn't that way because I traveled, so it was a little more contained. Like, my car looked a little scary maybe for a month, but the house survived. But yeah, when I was going full at it though, because we were, you know, working on the build, and then we were training the actors, and then I just looked around and there's piles of laundry and there's a stack of actor lists, and then, you know, the dog looking at me going, do you remember that I exist? And then I feel guilty. And you know, it's the animals that make me feel worse than the children now, because the kids are all grown. Like I said, they can take care of themselves. But when the dog looks at you like, Mom, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm a terrible parent. But then I make that to her the rest of the year, and she gets to lay on the couch. So then she thinks she's the queen. But I don't know. I'm hoping maybe that I'll be able to get better at that as I grow up. But I'm not really holding my breath anymore. And then just November's our cleanup month. But I'm with you too, as far as celebrating all the Susie, as far as all the holidays. Like, I call them the burr months. And mm-hmm. from September through December, I enjoy all of them. Like, I am a fan of Thanksgiving, bring on the turkey. Yep. I'm a fan of Christmas, bring on the food. Yep. You know, just it's enjoy time. So I just... But yeah, November is the cleanup month before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I have mad scramble before everybody comes over. So it's motivation because they come here to eat. So I was like, I guess I should probably clean my house. Anyway, so that's my story. I'm not the most organized. I'm not going to lie to these people out there. They know me. They know better. So that's my story. Oh, look, we only got a few minutes left, ladies.
Good job.
We couldn't fill this hour and a half.
Is there any, I'll let you guys, since this will be the last question, are there any internal questions that you guys have amongst yourself? You want to, Melissa, ask Jan or vice versa? Or?
I have one for you, Brian.
Uh-oh. All right.
No, I just know this is legit. I think that we have shown here that there are people interested in this. And, and these are just, we are just a small sample
of
the women out there. I really feel you guys, if you can't give us whenever, what about once a month, just having something like this? Because there are so many amazing women out there that I feel like they need a shout out too. I mean, we are just a scattering, you know, and, and there's too many great people out there that need to be heard, in my opinion. Yeah. That's my opinion.
And I totally agree on that. And I want to see, you know, you ladies and other ladies on there, on our casts and stuff. So it's something that Brian and I have been chatting about, and we want to keep all of you involved. Now, I do have one question, and I want a very simple, what is one thing that each of you four ladies can do as role model women within this industry to help other people become role models within the industry, male or female? One piece of advice each.
Be willing to be teachable at all times. You don't know it all.
Yep.
You learn something from the newbies. You really do. That's mine. Just be teachable. You don't know it all, and be humble about what you do.
Yeah. I'm going to add on to that also. And this is something that I'm learning now in my fourth season. Don't be afraid to ask for advice. And don't be afraid to ask for help, especially help in this industry, because I come from the beauty industry. The beauty industry is very cutthroat. You have a nail girl, you go to her all the time. You have a hair girl, you go to her all the time. It's not like that in the haunt industry. There's enough room for all of us to have success. And everybody that I've met is there to help, and they want to help. I just haven't asked for the help until recently, and I'm getting amazing help. We're building an escape room. I'm getting amazing help from amazing people that I can't even believe that they just want to do this just to help. So don't be afraid to ask for help. That's something I've never done in my life with mostly anything. And you just ask and you shall receive. You don't know it all. Somebody said that earlier. You do not know it all. You cannot be the best at every single thing that is involved in the haunt industry. It's completely impossible. There's no way. You might be really good at a couple things, but you're not the best at everything. So my advice would be that. And like Sylvia said, you can always learn even from new people. Always.
Yeah, definitely. Always be learning. Always be learning. Always be learning. I agree with that 100%. The only thing I think I would add to it is, don't be scared. Take those risks, you know. You got a big idea, go for it. You think, you know, I had the idea about these t-shirts, these designs. You know, everybody liked the traditional Halloween. And when I first started saying, well, I kind of want to take the feel and the inspiration of skater wear and surfer wear and mesh it in with Halloween, I got a lot of, you're crazy, I don't think that's going to work, and I don't know, I can't see it, I can't visualize it. And I did it anyway, and it's the response that we're getting, is more than I ever dreamed we would get.
I already bought her shirt. I got the purple one when I was in HauntCon. I got the pulse one.
yeah, heartbeat.
The heartbeat, so, sorry. Yeah.
Just because you're, and I'm going to speak just for a minute, guys, to the women. Just because you're a woman doesn't mean that you're less, and it doesn't mean that people won't hear you. And there's a reason why that saying of, I am woman, hear me roar. It exists. It's because you need to. You've got to roar. You've got to be a willing to stand up and don't take no for an answer. And so I was always kind of timid for a while. And then I kind of broke out of my timidity because I realized I have something to say, damn it. And I'm going to say it and you're going to listen to me.
Well, there's a difference between being like survivors and being warriors. And I think that Melissa's a damn fine warrior, because there's a difference. You can sit there and let this industry, any industry, knock you over. But, or you can say, adjust our little witch hat and remind them who the Dickens they're dealing with.
I had Bravo, to edit. Ladies. I remembered Bravo. It was live.
I have to applaud everybody for not cursing. We've done very good.
Oh my God. I really, do I get a cookie at TW? Ryan, I want a cookie at Trans World.
Yeah. Sylvia not cursing. That's pretty tough.
Yes. I think I deserve a medal.
Well, maybe we need to make a spirit bench for that.
Sylvia didn't drop the F-bomb tonight. Yay! Listen, Linda. Linda.
Linda.
Stop listening to me. That's something. Oh, that's the final one. Have a sense of humor. You gotta, you gotta have a sense of humor about stuff because it can be a little bit crazy. But I think that it's the kind of crazy we all enjoy, obviously. It's so weird seeing all you guys. I feel like the left out Brady Bunch. I'm not going to lie. I know. Poor me.
Maybe we can pull enough money together to get you something other than a phone.
Ooh. Listen, Linda, I will borrow my son's boyfriend's laptop. You see, I'm either going to have a phone or I can travel to things. Yeah. Yeah, that's all right. I'll see you at a con soon. Just remember that.
Okay, well, I want to thank all of our guests this evening and all of the folks that came in the chat rooms as well. A large percentage of our listeners are women, I believe, this evening, so that's really good. And we're definitely going to try and do our best to carry this on some one way or another. So this has been a very inspiring. And yeah, I've learned things too, right? And I would be glad to have all of you running my companies or working or, you know, running my haunts. It would probably have to be in Canada, though, so that excludes the four of you. Oh, wow.
Like a female podcast, girls. I can get you all
I'm already up. Doing on it. I'm on it, okay? I'm trying to get a few episodes in before I go and launch it. I really am. We have a lot of women out there need to be heard.
Yep. Right. Well, I'm going to throw my plugs in there. Everybody that attended this, thank you for showing up. Thank you for telling your friends. It will be on hauntedtopic.com as a podcast. I'll probably also put it on YouTube at our Haunters Toolbox YouTube channel. You can find me at hauntedtopic.com, hauntedstoolbox.com, Dead Factory if you come to Missouri. Daryl, I'll hand it off to you. We'll go through each person and plug where we can find you and say goodnight.
Okay. Well, Daryl, Scared Badges, Haunt Topic Radio. I was at Transworld last year. I'm not going to be there this year, but, we'll see if we can get out to anything else. Got a kid getting married this year, so got to save a little bit of money, but, and you'll see us on Haunter's Toolbox and hope that you guys and girls get the chance to listen to us and maybe order some Scared Badges, shameless plug, for your own haunts. Melissa, you want to let us know where we can find you and all of your businesses?
We're just all listening. It's like, okay.
I hope to see everybody at Transworld. We are going to be in booth 1719, same place we've been for three years now. We have all of our new stuff launching that we launched at HauntCon, plus more new stuff that we're bringing. You can also find us online at hauntshirts.com. And we're bringing so much new stuff and new merchandise and for the clothing line. But we also are here to help all of you haunts and vendors out there who need swag printed for them. So if you're looking for print services, that is the bulk of our business. And we will happily give you a quote, work with you, and get whatever you need for your haunt done. We also just added embroidery this year, which we're really excited about. So give us a shout if you need anything merchandise-wise. We don't just do shirts. If it can go on apparel, any kind of apparel, we can do it. If you need some kind of merchandise, koozies, cups, those kinds of things, we can do it. So come by and see us or shoot us an email or check out our website.
Go to Susie.
Okay, we are on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. CrawfordSchoolOfTerror.com is our website. We're opening an escape room. Hopefully in April, it will be ready to go. So if anybody travels and does escape rooms, be sure to check us out. We are, we're going to be pretty awesome. Ethan Turan, you guys probably know Ethan. He helped design the escape room. So I can't take any credit, like none at all, zero credit for that one. So Ethan and Troy and some more people that Ethan brought in have helped with the escape room that we hope to be opening in April. We're a little bit off schedule with that. But I will also, we're going to be at Transworld next week. So if any of you guys see Yay! Us, anybody that's on here and you see us like with our hoodies and shirts and stuff on, just like grab me and be like, hey, I listened to you last week on, you know, on the webcast. So yeah, don't be afraid to make friends and say hi. Cause I'm like this big and I'm not intimidating. I promise. My head spins the whole way around though. So that's one of my talents, but go ahead, Jan.
You can find us at greyhousehaunts.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. And if you ever happen to be in South Central Nebraska, come visit us. Sylvia.
Yay. Well, my haunt troupe is Nightmare Nomads, and we do have an Instagram and a Facebook. We don't have a web page quite yet, but we do have everything from fire eaters to sliders to snake charmers to magicians. We even do tarot if you want that. And then my home haunt, I will, like I said, I'll be with Exit 13 in Michigan. So I am going to actually haunt all season where it's cold.
Oh, tough one.
It's going to be fun. I love it. I love it. I mean, it's a great crew. That's the only, trust me, that's the only reason I would go. I'm a Florida girl at heart, but I enjoyed everywhere, but I had a great time. Speaking of a female staff, most makeup, their boss lady, the actor manager, the actor trainer, all of them women, which made me very happy too. That's probably another reason why I went back. So anyway, that's what I'm doing.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies, for taking your time to spend with us. It was awesome. I learned a lot. Everybody seemed to be having a good time in the chat room. So is there anything you guys want to add? We're signing off.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Stay spooky.
Podcast. All right, guys. Well, I'll see you at the show. If not, we'll do this again.
All right.
Okay. That's good. Right.
Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.
Bye, ladies. I'll see you next week.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Haunt Topic Radio. Please leave a comment wherever you found this podcast. Each comment you leave will help spread the word to other haunters around the world. See you next time.